Shabbat Shalom. This week's parasha is entitled Yithro. It's taken from Exodus chapter 18, verse 1, and it spans through chapter 20, verse 23. The gods of the Egyptians have been defeated. Pharaoh has been humiliated. His firstborn son killed, and his army destroyed. The Red Sea has parted. Israel has been released from slavery. Adonai has been glorified, and all the nations know of the God of Israel. The news of the chosen nation's activities has traveled far and wide. 2 million people leaving Egypt, crossing the Red Sea by a marvelous miracle, moving southward in the Sinai Peninsula, and defeating the strong Amalekites. This was news that could not be kept secret. Travelers, herdsmen, and dwellers in nearby areas, even spies of other nations would have heard of these great events and would report the news to others. Israel's activities were the big events of that time and era. Hearing of this exodus, Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, visited Moses. Jethro had apparently followed the affairs of his son-in-law with intense interest, so that when the Israelis camped at Rephidim, Jethro determined to go see his son-in-law. The visit of Jethro, the priest of Midian, was not only a reunion with Moses' father-in-law, but also a reunion with his wife and sons. Remember, Zipporah, Moses' wife, had been sent back to Jethro after the circumcision incident on the way to Egypt. Moses had two sons, and their names reflected the faith of Moses. Followers of Adonai often expressed their faith by the names that they gave their children. The firstborn son of Moses was named Gershom, which means alien, because Moses understood that he had been an alien in a foreign land. An Israeli who had faith in Adonai never would have considered any land but Israel as his home, because this was the land that the Lord gave them in the covenant. The second son was Eliezer, which means God is my help. This speaks of strong faith in Adonai and shows gratitude towards him. When Moses left Midian to go to Egypt, he was a fugitive and a lowly shepherd of his father-in-law, Jethro. Now he is the emancipator, the lawgiver, prophet, miracle worker, and leader of the chosen nation of the three-in-one God. Moses' prestige has risen tremendously since leaving the Midianite scene. And it is almost certain that Jethro took all of this into account. Now, Moses told his father-in-law everything that Adonai had done to Pharaoh and the Egyptians. He told of their struggles and how God had delivered them. Moses didn't only talk about his troubles, he also talked about their triumphs. Now, Jethro was so moved that he said, "Praise the Lord, because he freed you from the power of Egypt. He saved you from Pharaoh. Now I know the Lord is greater than all the gods." Jethro is an example of the Lord accomplishing his purpose through the Jewish people, so that the whole world would know that Israel's God is God Almighty. Jethro brought sacrifices and offerings to honor Adonai. Then Aaron and all the elders of Israel came to eat with Moses' father-in-law. They all ate together, glorifying God. Moses said to Jethro, "We are traveling to a land that Adonai has promised to give us. Come with us, and we will be good to you. Adonai has promised good things to the Israelis." But Jethro refused, wanting to go back to his homeland and people. How wonderful it would have been to have heard Jethro say, "Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you sleep, I will sleep. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God." But he didn't say that. Now, Jephro was a just man who had a deep religious spirit. He also displayed wisdom when he taught Moses how to delegate authority, but his faith was lacking. Jephro's acknowledgement of the supremacy of the God of Israel did not suggest that he was a true worshiper of Adonai. The polytheism of the pagan nations allowed them to recognize the powers of various deities and praise each god when there was evidence of their powers. In our nation today, there are millions of Jethros. They know something about the true God, but they also have other gods. They have their own idols. It's not images of wood and stone that they are worshiping, but idols in the sense of priorities, interfering with their acknowledging and serving the true and living God. Now, there are Jephros in churches, and there are Jephros in messianic congregations. The question each one of us must ask is, am I a Jephro? Chapter 19, Moses was told to have the people purify themselves and be ready to receive a powerful revelation from Mount Sinai on the third day. Now, God had several purposes for bringing his chosen nation to this mountain to receive the Ten Commandments. One was to receive his glory and holiness. These revelations from Mount Sinai revealed a great and holy God. Two, to reveal man's sinfulness. The law shows men their sin nature. The law is holy and good. Our violation of it shows that we are unholy sinners. And three, to mark Israel as chosen people and to separate them from all other nations. This display of Adonai's grace to Israel was that he gave his revelations to Israel and to no other nations. Four, to give Israel a standard for godly living, so that the Jewish people might obey and be blessed and inherit the land and enjoy its blessings. And five, to prepare Israel for the coming of Messiah. Israel was under spiritual childhood under the law, but this also prepared her for the coming grace of the Messiah. The Ten Commandments were proclaimed to Israel directly by God's voice during the time that God manifested himself in thunders, lightnings, fire, smoke, and thick darkness on Mount Sinai. And all of the statutes were given to Israel by Adonai through Moses. But note, the importance of the Ten Commandments are further emphasized by the fact that they were later inscribed by the finger of God in tablets of stone. You shall have no other God before me. If we do not have God in his proper position in our hearts, all the other statutes would not be viewed properly. Two, you should make no idols. The first commandment tells us who to worship. This commandment tells us how to worship. Three, you should not misuse the name of the Lord your God. We must always reverence, honor, and glorify God's name. Four, remember the Sabbath day. Israel was expected to rest from work and honor the Creator on this day. And it is also a day that Christians can enter into his blessings. Five, honor your father and your mother because they are God's representatives in the family. Dishonor them and you dishonor God. Six, you should not murder. Human beings are made in the image of God and we must respect their lives. Seven, you should not commit adultery. Maintaining the integrity of marriage is very important to God and should be to us. Eight, you should not steal. Individuals can own property, and their property should be respected. And this allows people to peacefully live with each other. Nine, you should not give false testimony. We do this by leaving something out of a story, telling half-truths, twisting the facts, or inventing falsehoods. And 10, you shall not covet. Greedy people will break the other commandments in order to satisfy their covetous desires. Now, there are few points on which Christians make a greater mistake than on the relation that exists between law and the gospel, or law and grace. Many see these as adversaries, but the reality is that they are allies, and we need both. We need law and we need gospel and grace. The law reveals God's standards that we all fall short of. If you ignore the law or lower its standards, you dim the light by which sinners perceive their guilt. And this is a very serious loss to the sinners because it lessens the likelihood of the sinner's conviction and conversion. Sinners would not appreciate grace until they tremble before a just and holy law. The law strips, and then Messiah comes in and robes the soul in beauty and glory. The law is the surgeon's knife that cuts out the proud flesh so that the wound may heal. Ignore the law, and you deprive the gospel of its most powerful ally. You have taken away from it the schoolmaster who brings men to Messiah. The law was given through Moses, and that's a great thing. Grace and truth were realized through Messiah Yeshua. And that's an even greater thing. Thank God for the law, and thank God for Messiah, who brings grace, truth, gospel to those who know and obey him. Shabbat shalom.